The issue of trade is on the agenda Saturday at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. Senior officials from key economies are sitting down to agree on whether to send a political signal that a new global trade deal can, at last, be completed within the year. Renewed talk of a deal has won backing from leaders and executives at the forum, but the week has not been all about trade. Other key issues have included the Eurozone, climate change and food security. On Friday, some of the world's top firms agreed to invest in agricultural projects in Tanzania and Vietnam. They also warned of more unrest in the developing world if food production does not keep pace with population growth. Lydia O'Kane spoke to Tim Aldred, advocacy manager at the International Catholic Development Agency Progressio, about the importance of tackling the issue of food supplies and sustainability.
How concerned should world leaders be about this situation?
Well, I think it's right that governments are taking an interest. I think one of the sad things is that for several decades, the question of food security has not been as high profile as it needs to be. Now, a few years ago, 2008, when food prices really started going up, it was something of a wake-up call for world leaders, and various processes were set in place to try and address the world food security problems. It's quite a complicated issue to tackle because there's a whole set of issues that that come together and exhibit the symptom of poor food security. So tackling it really needs a concerted effort across a whole set of different areas, and that needs a high-level political interest and will.
I mean, you were talking about the different issues involved, and I suppose one of them would be people's, you know, people just don't want to be without food. It's leading to protests in many countries, which I suppose would be why, again, it's being brought onto the agenda, because it's leading to a lack of security in countries where people are out in the streets saying, you know, we need food.
I mean, I think it's been one of the widely reported issues that has triggered, it's not the only cause, but it's helped to trigger some of the uprisings we've seen over the last few days and weeks in the Middle East. It's certainly been cited as an important reason. But I think we should be concerned about food security for a deeper reason than security. You know, we still scandalously live in a world where nearly a billion people don't have enough basic food. And yet, at the same time, almost the same number are medically speaking overeating and harming their health because of that. So there is something very, very wrong about that situation, which is an urgent moral priority for all of us to tackle, I would suggest.
We've heard in the past about, you know, butter mountains and it just going to rot because for various reasons. Again, things like that, obviously you'd think, you know, why is that the case? Why is it the case that food isn't getting to where it should be getting to and being left?
Yes, although ironically, one of the things that we can do to help food security is to have the right kinds of food reserves and food stocks, especially of the most important grains like cereals. One of the problems with food security is the price goes zooming up and down at a high rate, and that volatility in the price of food is one of the extremely damaging things, because farmers don't know where they are in terms of their markets. It's obviously very difficult for the a poor person who suddenly finds that grain has shot up in price. Now, if you hold a reasonable reserve, then at the household level, you know, it can help you. If you've got a small granary, it can help you ride out a lean season. But even at the biggest international level, it can help smooth out some of these big peaks and troughs in the international markets. So ironically, the last thing we want to see is another butter mountain, but having the right kinds of reserves in place is one of the issues that certainly that the British government in a recent report this week have identified as something that could be looked at and perhaps could be action on that could help us to deal with the problems of food security.
I mean, for world leaders tackling this issue, is there a way forward in that they can look at the issue and say, well, this is a way that could be used to help the situation?
I think, I mean, the British government report again was talking a lot about governance. So how do we manage food? You know, it's not like other things which get traded on the financial markets, for example, because at the end of the day, we eat it, and it's essential for our survival and for the poor of the world, it's a very high part of their income. So, and it links into, for example, how we trade with each other and how trade agreements operate between countries. It also is relevant for how we manage the environment, that with a population growing, there's less agricultural land to go around. So we need to think about how we conserve the agricultural land that there is and make sure that it's supported, that we don't overuse it, that we don't degrade it. Climate change is also an issue because that makes it harder to grow food in a predictable way. So there are a set of these issues which are quite big. They can be addressed. I think the priority is not so much the finding the technical solutions. I think scientists and people who work in development and people who work in agriculture have a good idea of the kinds of things that are helpful. But what's needed is at the political level for there really to be concern and interest and a willingness to take the action that's needed.
I mean, it is such a complex issue. You talked about climate change there because it's not, as you said, it's becoming harder to grow food. And I suppose climate would come into the fact that, you know, in many parts of the world, climate has changed. But it's also looking at the climate issue as well, dealing with climate change and how to kind of stop kind of global warming, that kind of thing. A lot of things do come into play, which makes it quite complex.
That's right. For example, we spoke to a Peruvian farmer. He farms alpacas in the highlands, the higher mountain areas of Peru. Now, one of the things he told us at Progressio recently is that the place they can grow crops has had to move further up the mountain because temperatures have gradually become warmer. But because it's higher up the mountain, it's much more vulnerable to sudden frosts. So because of a warming climate, the small farmers there have found it much more, their existence has become a lot more precarious. And then another way in which climate change can come in is that if we need more agricultural land, it's very tempting to do things like chopping down tropical rainforests to create spaces for fields. Now that, you know, is tempting, but obviously we'll help to feed and drive climate change. So we really need to take some careful decisions about how far are we going to develop, say, forests and turn them over to agricultural land if we're not just going to give ourselves a bigger problem but by moving climate change in the wrong direction.
We've looked at world leaders, we've looked at the issues on the table. With regard to the church, how important is Pope Benedict's role in the sense of having a voice? How important is the church's voice in getting the message across about the issues involved?
I think I think he has a very important role to play on the international stage. He's one of the few who can really speak to the values of this issue. This isn't just about technicalities and finding technical solutions. It's about really recognizing that there's a moral issue here and there is an urgency to act which is driven by our values. In the interviews with Peter Seewald in The Light of the World, Pope Benedict does talk in some detail about questions of the environment and how we are going to feed ourselves. It was also a theme within Caritas in Veritate, recognizing the injustice, and that there is a really strong moral imperative to act, and that unless politicians do so, we are facing a global catastrophe. However, he also brings it back to us as individuals, because governments can only act if their citizens are prepared to accept that at some level the richer must be prepared to live with less and to consume less. That's a difficult message, but it's so important, and it's therefore extremely helpful that it's one that Pope Benedict is articulating and sharing at and doing so in a consistently over several years now.